Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. D-Mace will join us in just a little bit, but Willie D is here. Willie, how are we doing?
Caroline, I'm doing well. Hope you're doing well. We're looking forward to having D-Mace join us in a little bit. I do, though, with D-Mace not here, I can grab the remote for the TV behind you, which you can't see. So
right.
The only one you care about is this one. Right?
Sometimes.
I can put afternoon baseball on. Which,
wow.
You know, yeah. The Braves
no
play
D-Mace,
here pretty soon.
No rules.
And I know the Braves are cruising to the title. It's going to happen. But Jared and I, with the daily check of Acuna versus Mookie Betts for the MVP, and the fact that Ronald Acuna is on my fantasy team, and I'm trying to take a title. I'm trying to take the title. I'm trying to hold off the pursuit. It is going down to the last day.
Fantasy baseball is next level.
I know, and it's
not easy.
I'm torn because I want to win the argument with Jared and Mookie win the MVP, but I want Ronald to do well because I've got Ronald on my team.
Which do you want more?
I want the fantasy title more.
I would say I'd want to be right over Jared more.
Yeah. And hopefully I get both. Hopefully I win the title and Mookie edges him out. Every time Acuna has a big game, which he did last night, he had two home runs, mm-hmm. I get a text from Jared. Hey, look, take a look. He's over. And it is true that Acuna has closed the gap. And if he does get 40 homers and 70 steals, which has never been sniffed before, that's going to be hard to ignore, even if I make my argument about WAR and Mookie's more versatile. Jared never wants to hear anybody else's argument anyway. But my argument is weakening, which Jared is letting me know every night. But we'll see. Mookie scored the winning run last night, and he texted me, Jared did, at about, 10 o'clock. The Dodgers were in the middle of their game. And then after Jared texted, Mookie had a big finish of the game. A couple of hits, scored the winning run. So it's a fun race. I don't know if the vote will be close. I just think Acuna's eye-popping things are going to be probably hard to ignore. The year that the Braves have had is hard to ignore.
Yeah.
That's a powerhouse team. And they're going to be together for the next 5 years. They got everybody signed.
And
it's bad news for my Mets.
Such a powerhouse team all year long. Like, it feels like I can't go 24 hours without hearing about something spectacular that someone in a Braves uniform did.
They've toyed with the rest of the league is when it comes down to.
It's not fair.
But
it is not fair.
As we know, that doesn't mean you're going to win in the postseason, which they found out last year. So that's what's compelling about the double-edged sword. You love the extra playoff games, which I don't. I like the old Final Four.
Right.
Because the best teams make it. So, and when you have to win an extra tier, somebody gets hot. They weren't great during the season. That was the Phillies last year, and they got hot. They beat them.
That is one thing I have learned throughout all of sports, is the best team throughout the regular season, more often than not, does not win a championship.
Especially the more tiers you add to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right?
Like college basketball.
Sure.
College baseball, MLB hockey. I mean, whoever bet on the Panthers that beat the Bruins in the first round of the playoffs?
Yep.
Whoever bet
Seven
on the
games.
Panthers
yeah.
to beat the Bruins in the first round of the playoffs, like, I hope you are enjoying your beachside mansion in Miami. Because
right.
that probably paid out a ton
yeah,
of money.
A couple of mortgages probably.
Right.
A couple payments there. That was unbelievable. Your Cardinals in 2006,
mm-hmm.
my Mets, much better team in the regular season. Cardinals were only like three games over 500.
Colorado kind of snuck in the playoffs.
They're like three games over 500 for the season.
And then they just found life in the postseason.
Sure enough. And it can happen.
And the Cardinals
are you giving the flag back? The pennant? No.
No.
You take the ring, right? Your team wins it. You earned it.
Absolutely. I'll take the championship over anything. Like, you know, I look at, you know, college baseball this past year. LSU didn't win the SEC championship, but screw the SEC championship. We won a College World Series, baby.
Okay, I get the dig. Yeah, who won the SEC tournament? Yeah, Vanderbilt won it. And then they were out in the first round. Yeah.
Which is great.
But that just goes to show you, especially baseball, but really most sports now, that's how it goes. There's parity. And the postseason is a different animal.
That's why the postseason is so fun in so many sports. It's just, it's a completely different beast.
We're about to get to October, which is my favorite month.
October's the best sports month.
It's the best. I think it's a slight, not a lot of people like March. I'm slight for October. I give a slight edge to October.
May is sneaky fun, too. May is you know, baseball's heating up. Hockey is kind of, you know, is heating up. Maybe it's a fun month as well. It's an underrated
NBA playoffs,
month.
NHL playoffs.
NBA playoffs. Yeah. Okay. It's different.
Weather's getting a little warmer in the major league parks. Yeah.
Spring is in the air. Yeah. It's fun. Yeah. College baseball.
I can make a good case for maybe in the
down
third.
To the wire. Yeah. 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 It's fun. It's fun. But October is absolutely the first best. But I want to get into this because we have been talking about, really ever since the Saints game, the balance between Derrick Henry and Tajay Spears. And whenever the Titans first drafted Tajay Spears, I thought, what in the world are they doing? Like a third round pick on a running back? Like the Titans feel pretty set at running back. Then I saw Tajay Spears in practice and I thought, okay, I get it now. I get it. Tajay Spears is a dude. But after the Saints game, I thought, yes, Tajay Spears is a dude. Yes, Tajay Spears can create plays. Yes, he's speedy and quick. But I wanted to see more of Derek, even if it wasn't just handing the ball to Derek. Have Derek on the field. At least present the threat of Derek Henry running the football. I thought last week against the Chargers, I thought it was a good balance. Yeah, there were still instances where I would have liked to have seen Derrick Henry on the field, whether it was second and short or first and 10, whatever it might have been. But I loved seeing both of them on the field together. A little 1-2 punch, a little, you know, thunder and lightning. So we touched on that with Tim Hasselbeck yesterday, of course, ESPN NFL analyst. And he gave his interpretation of not just now, but perhaps the near future for the 1-2 punch of Tajay Spears and Derrick Henry. This was Tim Hasselbeck yesterday.
Do you believe the Titans are better effective, you know, offensively if they get both Tajay Spears and Derrick Henry involved in the game? Because obviously Derrick's going to have the bulk of the carries, but in today's offense, you got to have that other back that can come in and get you some positive plays. And it seems like Tajay Spears is that guy that can get to those holes quicker, whereas Derrick Henry at this point of his career, he gets to him, but it's not as quick as he used to.
No. Here's what I feel like is brewing, and I don't want to regret saying this, but I feel like it I'll be glad I said it if I still feel this way in 2 weeks. So here's what I think. Remember the conversation in Dallas. Mm-hmm. Who are we better off with? Who are we better off with? Is it Zeke? Is it Tony Pollard? Because, man, when Pollard comes in the game, it just looks like he's got fresh legs. It looks like he's faster. It looks like I do feel like you see that. Now, saying all of that, like, we got to remember, like, Ezekiel Elliott had, like, 22 touchdown, you know, rushes in his last 2 years in Dallas.
Right.
So, like, even though Tony Pollard, it was like, oh, golly, like, you kind of have to be blind not to see it. Like, it didn't mean that, like, they didn't need Zeke to be what Zeke was. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so like, I think that there are times, and look, I think that there have been times throughout Derrick Henry's career where I've watched him and I've thought, golly, like for a guy that big, man, it doesn't look like he's hitting it that fast or that hitting the hole that hard. And now I think some of that is just his build. I think some of that's his style, and I think that, you know, you've got to be comfortable with that. But yeah, I don't think there's any question that it looks different.
Okay, Willie, your thoughts.
You know, it's it reminds me of a lot of situations that have come up over the years. But I see what he's seeing, and that is you've got young, fresh legs. They really went out, I would say to a degree, went out on a limb when they drafted Tajay Spears. There was a lot of criticism that was a slot where maybe the wide receiver was the way to go.
Yeah.
That was maybe the bigger need at the time. Now that they have Hopkins, you see that the role definition looks like it's got some potential. You know, you got it could work out with how it's coming together if it continues to progress, especially if the line can hang in there. But it is evident when you watch Tajay Spears that he is quicker. He gets to the hole quicker. He's a different type of runner. And if nothing else, he's a change of pace. I keep coming back to this. Tim Kelly was tasked to take the offense to another level. The same old of just rely everything on Derrick Henry and then everything off of the play action that brings you. It only got them 17.5 points a game last year, even though Derrick Henry ran for 1,500 yards. So to get to another level, you have to be willing to try a different mix. I still think Derrick Henry is going to get plenty of touches. I don't think this means Derrick Henry is going to be a guy that ends up 200 carries. I still think he's going to get between 300 and 350 carries. The question is, what is the number? Remember, I asked you guys, is the over under 320? What is the optimal number? To me, the optimal number for Derrick is going to be around 300. I think he'll be more efficient by less carries at this stage of his career. That wasn't always the case, but this isn't the Derrick Henry of 2019, 2020. This is 29-year-old Derrick Henry. So I see what Tim's seeing. A big question I have is, can Tajay Spears stay out there every game? We don't really know yet. He's looked very promising, but it's only two games.
Right, we're only 2 weeks in. And I think that Tim Kelly, Mike Vrabel, they're still trying to figure out the perfect balance, the healthiest balance between the threat of Derrick Henry that can run through a 9-man box versus a Tajay Spears that maybe has more snap, that maybe has more get-up speed. And yeah, to your point, Derrick Henry in the past has gotten better the more touches he gets, the later in the season. He's like an engine that might take a little bit to rev up, to warm up, but then once it's up, man, it is going. Tajay Spears is maybe like a 0-60 in 3 seconds. So it's interesting. Tim Hasselbeck said yesterday that he said it very hesitantly. He didn't want to put it out there. He didn't, I don't want to say this, but I'm going to. He says that he views this Tajay Spears, Derrick Henry situation resembling what we saw with Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard in Dallas.
I'll give you a local one when we come back that it reminds me of as well.
And I'll give my thoughts on the other side as well. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow, normally joins us at noon on Wednesdays. He'll join us a little bit earlier. He'll be with us from 11:45 to 12:15, leading into Mike Vrabel's press conference. He will meet with the media, and we will carry that live and in its entirety 1 hour from now. We're breaking down Tim Hasselbeck's comments yesterday when he visited us, and he said he could see this Derrick Henry Tajay Spears 1-2 punch slowly but surely resembling the situation in Dallas. Of course, we know Ezekiel Elliott was the Cowboys franchise running back. He was kind of the face of the Cowboys along with Dak Prescott for a long time. In 2019, the Cowboys draft Tony Pollard, kind of a no-name running back coming out of Memphis. And Tony Pollard slowly but surely started to make a name for himself. And toward the end of Zeke's career in Dallas, Tony Pollard was the preferred back and Zeke was just kind of an afterthought. So it's crazy, I think, for me and probably for a lot of Titans fans, just to conceptualize a time where Derrick Henry becomes an afterthought in the Titans offense. So, you know, Tim could have thought that he thinks that this situation resembles that maybe a few years from now. I just can't get there quite yet, because Zeke, toward the end of his career as a Cowboy, he got the touches, but he just was not very effective. So I just can't get quite there yet. I view the 1-2 punch, both of them together at the same time, I view that being the most optimal duo, because I don't know what Tajay Spears looks like with a loaded box, because we haven't seen that, because the box is loaded for Derrick Henry when Tajay Spears is on the field.
Remember what they've tried to do as well. They have tried to balance run pass. If I've got this right, they're almost exactly 50-50 in run pass on first down.
They were last year too.
Yeah, but I feel like it's got a better chance, and there have been some plays on first down where Derrick Henry has not been in there, which is unusual. Usually he's in first and second, and if they get behind the chains, that's when it changes. I think that's going to continue for sure. And so it's still a work in progress, but I think what you're trying to do is you're trying to get to the point where maybe at this stage of his career, maybe Derrick Henry doesn't have to run against 8-9 man fronts every time. Do the guy a favor. Maybe you are giving him a better avenue of being back on the team next year. And the local reference I was thinking, Derek brought up a good one between an aging Eddie George and an up-and-coming Chris Brown, who had a nice career, nothing close to Eddie George, but at that stage of their careers, there were certain looks, certain plays where Chris Brown was a more effective runner than Eddie George. And in 2003, that was a very good team. Mm-hmm. But Eddie George, he still got 1,000 yards, but it was a blend of the two. I think that's what you're looking for with this. Lendale White was a 1,000-yard back, a 300-plus carry guy the year before Chris Johnson got there. Chris Johnson comes there, and then you have a blend of the two, and it worked very well. They went 10-0 to start the season, 2008. Another one I'm thinking of, too, is Pecorine and UC Saros. Now, we can only hope that Tajay Spears ends up being as good as we know UC Saros is now. But there was a time where UC Saros was just a clear backup. Nobody was going to – it was only Pecorine sitting out when you needed a backup to play. But it got to a point where UC Saros was doing so well in the games and Pekka was aging a little bit that you started to have these conversations of how do you blend the two. Now, what you don't have the option of doing in hockey is playing two goalies at the time. That's why we're seeing some Tajay Spears and Derrick Henry on the field at the same time. I think that helps the process. But to me, the essential question is, how do you grow the offense? How do you get the offense to the next level? How do you get the most efficiency out of Derrick Henry? It's not about how many yards does he have at the end of the season. He had 1,500 yards.
Yeah.
But it was not an efficient offense. And if you look at analytics, it was not the best year for Derrick Henry. Nothing close to 2019 and 2020.
And
it was down a notch.
It was. And I don't think that anyone would deny that the Derek that we see in 2023 is not the Derek that we saw in 2019 and 2020 in the 2,000-yard season. It's not. And it's always an uncomfortable situation whenever you start to see the star franchise player that has been such a foundation of your team.
That's the parallel with Rene that I'm seeing. Because Derrick Henry, no disrespect to Ezekiel Elliott, who is a great player, but we're talking about the heart and soul and face of the franchise in Pecorine and Derrick Henry. Like, Derrick Henry's never been suspended by the NFL, right? He is a guy that carries himself so where he's the spiritual leader, right? It's hard to take stuff off of that guy's plate. It was very hard to do that with Pecorine,
right?
But they did it. And so I think they're trying to start that process here for the good of Derrick Henry, hopefully the offense and the team. If Spears can stay out there and be what we think he looks like he could be.
One of my favorite quotes that I think is a parallel into a lot of different aspects of life, it's from Batman. And it's, don't live long enough to see yourself become the villain. I think it's really applicable in sports. Like, we could maybe apply that to Nick Saban. Is Nick Saban getting to a point where he's been in coaching for so long that he just can't win at the rate that he used to? I look at that for maybe players that might overstay their welcome. I'm a Cardinals fan. Adam Wainwright has been a franchise player for as long as I've been alive. And the last few years have been a little rough for Adam Wainwright. And it's like you don't want to overstay so long that you start to taint your legacy. Applying that to Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is not at a point where he is hurting this football team. I think it's the exact opposite. Like, Derrick Henry is still very much so helping this football team that every game that the Titans have on their schedule are going to game plan for Derrick Henry. That when you're at 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2, who's getting the ball? It's Derrick Henry, and everyone on the field knows it, and he's still able to pick up the first down. So I don't want the conversations of expecting Derrick Henry to go downhill before he actually does it. I think that we all have a tendency, and I've noticed that a lot with Derrick Henry, locally, nationally. Everyone just expects Derrick Henry to have this, you know, crazy downhill just blunder. Because history tells us that once you're running back, it reaches 30, you hit a wall. You go downhill. No, Derrick Henry is not 2019 Derrick Henry. No, Derrick Henry is not 2020 Derrick Henry. That happens in sports. Aaron Rodgers is not the same Aaron Rodgers that we saw 5 or 6 years ago, but he's still pretty darn good. That's how I feel about Derrick Henry as well. I don't want to say, oh, well, you know, he's not going to be useful because he's still really
absolutely.
I don't,
and I don't think Tim was saying that. I don't think anybody sees that. The question is, what's the right balance?
Yeah.
And what's the right usage? And so we have to be, in my opinion, you have to be a little patient when there are times where Derrick Henry comes off the field and your instinct, your history tells you, where's Derrick? We got to have Derrick in there. Because it's not the same Derrick Henry. It's the idea is you've got to try some things. You have to work at it. And there may be some growing pains with that. They probably experienced that some in week number one where it wasn't quite the balance. Maybe even at the end of the game, Tim Kelly was thinking, man, that was maybe a little more Derrick Henry off the field than I wanted it. But it was just the way the game went. Last week was different. There were late game situations, short yardage situations, which allowed Derrick to get more touches. Maybe the answer, really, in optimal sense, is a little bit more in between. Because I'm excited. I want to see Tajay Spears carry the ball more. I like what I'm seeing there. I want to see more. But to do that, what do you do with Derrick?
And how much better is Tajay Spears because of Derrick Henry? Like, could Tajay Spears do what Derrick Henry does with a loaded box and just absolutely pummel through defenders? Maybe he could.
I don't think they want that. I don't think that's not the plan at all.
And
right?
that's the value of Derrick. And that's the value of both of them. And I've heard a lot of people say, you know, Tajay Spears might be good because you're not going to get the tread off of the tires as quickly for Derrick Henry. But look, I'm fine with putting the tread on the tires. If I have a Ferrari, I'm not keeping that in the garage. You know, I'm not driving that sparingly. Derrick Henry's contract runs out, what, next year?
Well, it's essentially done
after
at the end of this
season.
Yeah. They're going to have to make a decision at the end of this season.
Run him. You know, use him.
Okay.
Utilize him.
When I asked the over under 320,
mm-hmm.
I can't remember exactly. I can look it up. Do you remember what you said?
I believe I said over.
You said over.
I said, let the big dog eat.
Okay. So you still think. So what's the right amount of carries? Because last year, I think he led the league. And remember, he missed a game. And he still led the league. Carried the ball more. Would you like to see them take a little bit off his plate? Or do you want to see him lead the league again in touches?
I think it's more situational.
And what does that mean? What does the offense look like if he leads the league in touches again? I don't think it's going to grow.
But
with their offensive line, with their offense in general, I just don't think that's going to lead to what they are looking for, and that's wins, better offense.
I think it depends on, you know, situational, like game by game, play by play, quarter by quarter, down by down. We've said, the Titans are going to be in a lot of really tight games.
Mm-hmm.
I think that lends to Derrick Henry getting more touches because in tight games, let's say you're up 3, you want to run the clock out. Well, run the ball. Or it's a really close game. You don't have to put the game in Tannehill's hands if you don't need to. I mean, we saw the passing game really struggle against the Saints. So if the passing game is struggling, then you're going to have to rely on not just Derrick Henry, but also Tajay Spears, on both of them. So, I mean, do I want to see Derrick Henry get the ball on every single down? No, of course not. You know, it's silly. That's crazy. But Derrick Henry has proven to be the foundation, the aspect, the main aspect, the focal point of this offense. And no, he doesn't look how he looked 5 years ago.
Okay, so
but he's still really good.
That's why I hope that this continues to be the thing. That's why I threw out 320 and not 340, because I believe that for them to have the optimal Derrick Henry, I think he's going to do better with a few less carries. 300 carries is a lot of carries.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's not like they're not giving it to him.
In this NFL.
But it would be significantly less than what we've seen from him before.
Yeah.
There're going to be times where you're going to say, "Where's Derrick? This is different." But I'm hoping different is better because of Spears and because they want to take that will mean the offense is getting to another level.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will get your thoughts on that, plus a wild take from a local media member that we will get into on the other side. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. Hey, 1025 and 1063, the game has your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to see the MTSU Blue Raiders, my Blue Raiders, take on Colorado State at Floyd Stadium this Saturday. Just text in the keyword blue, B-L-U-E, right now to 615-737-1025 to enter to win. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, stay tuned into 93.3 Classic Hits this Saturday for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders will kick off at 6 p.m. at home against Colorado State, pregame beginning at 5 p.m. You can hear all the coverage on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us in 15 minutes. Hutton, every week of the Titans season, will give us his three things, his biggest takeaways, three things that he thinks the Titans did well or need to work on. So we'll get that into that with Hutton in 15 minutes. But Willie, I saw a doozy this morning from one Paul Kuharsky. Initial instant reaction to this headline. Will Titans' Tajay Spears hinder Derrick Henry's path to the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
You know, I saw it last night, the headline, and I didn't read the article. I did this morning. I think the headline is, you know, how should we say, captivating, try to pull you in.
That's a nice way to say it.
It's really not the gist of the whole article, I would say. Because it's really not about – it is about Tajay Spears, but it's more or less, when I read the article, a case for what does Derrick Henry need to do between now and the end of his career to get to the Hall of Fame, right? And he uses other examples of guys who were kind of old school bulk carriers like Earl Campbell and Terrell Davis. You know, some of those guys are in the Hall of Fame, but they fell off a cliff at a certain point. And so I think the bigger question when I thought about it was, what does Derrick Henry need to do between now and getting to the Hall of Fame? I think Paul's case is basically, if this is the last year he plays for the Titans, he may not quite be there, Hall of Fame, unless they win the Super Bowl this year, right? What is something that builds your case more than anything? Winning the Super Bowl, right? I would argue that had Derrick D-Mace, right, had D-Mace played on a Super Bowl winner, I think he'd have even more momentum. I still think his numbers are good enough to be in the Hall of Fame. But if you had a ring to go with it or two rings, I think it'd be a no-brainer.
Totally.
He's done enough. But some of those things are stuff that is really a deep dive into how Hall of Fame voting goes, especially in football where you're comparing an offensive guard, a kicker, a quarterback, a wide receiver. It's so hard. I don't know how they do it. It's not easy at all. But all that to say, I thought of Jerome Bettis during that. Now, Jerome Bettis went from being the guy that carried it 300 times a year to, in his later years with the Steelers, he was with a Willie Parker or another quicker, different type of tailback, and he became a little bit more of a role player, and he hung around longer. I do wonder if that's the way to go. If they choose, because the big question is, do they want Derrick Henry back next year? So I think around 300 carries is the right amount, which is a ton of carries. It's still going to put him in the top five of the league if he gets it 300 times, carries. And then if you add 30, 35 receptions, that's going to be up there. But what happens next year and the year after, that's a huge question. But to me, he's going to have to be Jerome Bettis kind of thing if he wants to stay playing for the Titans, like Bettis stayed with the Steelers. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. That makes sense. And Paul, you know, I read the headline and I, you know, my fight or flight started to kick in. And I was like, all right, I'm not going to pick him apart without reading the article. And then when Paul wrote, I think the answer is yes. I was like, okay, all right, all right, Paul. So I thought in order for Derek to cement his Hall of Fame bid, because I think now there's an argument in terms of stats and Pro Bowls, doesn't have the championship, but in terms of, you know, just accolades and career achievements, there's an argument, absolutely. But I thought in order to cement himself, it was either one, another 2,000-yard season, or like you mentioned, a Super Bowl. Now, I don't think either of those things are really realistic this season. Anything can happen. Hey, yeah. The National Football League's crazy. But I don't think either of those things are realistic, nor would I expect either of those things to happen or put my money on those things to happen. And neither of those things have anything to do with Tajay Spears. That, you know, I understand the idea of you got a new guy coming in that might be taking looks away from you. But it is way too soon and way too hyperbolic to say that Tajay Spears is, you know, ripping a Hall of Fame bit away from Derrick Henry. Because just looking at Derrick Henry's stats, I mean, he had three consecutive 1,000-yard seasons, including that 2,000-yard season. And then in 2021, he had the 937-yard season when he got hurt. I think if there's anything that's going to keep him out of the Hall of Fame, it's the foot injury in 2021, not Tajay Spears.
I also think I don't look at it as it's Tajay Spears taking the carries away. It's how does our team – like this is what Mike Vrabel has to think. How does our team win games? Nobody loves and respects and appreciates and understands what Derrick Henry brings to the table beyond all these numbers more than Mike Vrabel. Mm-hmm. It's not like Mike Vrabel is sitting there going, how do I keep Derrick Henry out of the Hall of Fame? Or how do I get him into the Hall of Fame? He doesn't think that way. But they've never had the complimentary back to him since, you know, his younger days when they had DeMarco Murray, or then for a brief time, Deion Lewis, but that didn't really work very well. And only really it was because Deion Lewis didn't work out very well. That's when Derrick Henry became Derrick Henry, mm-hmm. towards the end of that. And then that was how they rolled for four or five, six seasons, whatever that has been. But I think they even would have loved to have had a complimentary back to Henry last year. But Hilliard, they kept. He wasn't able to stay healthy, and so they ended up kind of reverting back to, well, let's just give it to Derek, mm-hmm. and you saw the results. They weren't good. The injuries certainly played a part of it, but it wasn't a humming offense. That's why they changed coordinators. That's why they've changed philosophy. So if you think that Spears is the best complimentary back they've ever had for him, or at least for a long time, that's what is affecting this.
And
but I would have to – I'm hoping – yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Is that Tajay Spears doesn't take away from Derrick Henry. He makes Derrick Henry more efficient. That's the hope. That's the ideal scenario.
If they brought in drafted Tajay Spears and is using Tajay Spears in order to take away from Derrick Henry, I think that's football malpractice. I think it's only supplementary to Derrick Henry, or at least it should be. And I also think, too, you know, we look back on Hall of Famers and their stats and their numbers. But specifically for the running back position, I'm intrigued to see how the Hall of Fame kind of shifts their perspective of what qualifies a running back for the Hall of Fame. Just given the nature of the running back position, how they're not used as much. Are we going to see no running backs in the Hall of Fame moving forward? Because the numbers just won't match what they used to be.
Exactly. Remember Cliff Branch made it to Hall of Fame, was it last year, I think? Wide receivers were totally different when Cliff Branch played, right? Derek Mason's numbers way, way better than Cliff Branch. But they had to make a assessment of the era, mm-hmm. right? What was a great wide receiver in that era compared to when Derek Mason played and now, right? The game evolves. There's different things. Just like the running backs, no different.
Right.
For sure. But I think the mistake people make is I don't think it should be the Hall of Fame voters or an assessment of what we think is good football. Simply yards. It's too simple to say, well, Derek ran for 1,538 yards last year. He had a great year. Okay. It wasn't bad, but what did the offense do? What yards per carry, the efficiency, it was down a notch, right? So it's eye-popping, 1,500 yards, but when you really get down to it, there were some rough games where they were asking him to do too much. He's not quite the same guy at breaking tackles, explosive plays. So you have to account for that. So what's the best way to have efficient numbers and more wins?
And how much of that is just out of Derrick Henry's control? Like, how much of that is the play calling? How much of that is the offensive line? How much can Derrick Henry truly control that? When his job is just, you give me the ball, I run the ball, and I'm going to do as much as I can with it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow, will join us coming up next. I'm intrigued to see what his three things are, plus his perspective of the Henry Spears kind of 1-2 punch. So we'll chat with Jonathan Hutton about that coming up next. Caroline Willie, D. Mace, 1025-106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 1025-106.3 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Also, a little bit of NFL news coming out earlier today. Kareem Hunt has been signed by the Cleveland Browns on a one-year deal worth up to $4 million. Don't know the exact number of the contract of guarantees, but up to $4 million, says Ian Rappaport. So welcome back to Cleveland, Kareem Hunt. But joining us now is Jonathan Hutton with Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, we have our three things following the Titans' win, finally a Titans' win over the Chargers over the weekend.
Do we have favorite Hutton? Business of the week right here. I'm here. You have me?
Yep, we got you.
Got you. Appreciate you stopping by, Hutton.
Absolutely. First and foremost, before I just my big takeaways, Willie, congrats on Mahoney. That is awesome.
Thank you.
College baseball. I saw the post, and I feel like, you know, I was there at the very beginning of of the baseball talk for Mahoney. So that was cool that I was able to see that he's decided on a college.
Yeah, we are excited about it. Denison University, up in Ohio. It's a good, solid program. Good, solid school.
Was I not supposed to say something here? I figured Caroline would know.
Oh no, she knows. Yeah.
Okay, the feeling in my stomach. I was like, oh no, I said something I wasn't supposed to.
No, not at all.
Thanks for the shout out. He'll appreciate it.
Yeah, man, absolutely. It's very cool. Look, how about that? The identity is back is my biggest takeaway from what I saw Sunday compared to week one, and that is with Tim Kelly compared to what we saw last year. 31 rushing attempts by this Titans team, balance on first down, building off the run game to set up the pass, and then that sets up Tannehill, which was, you know, maybe the biggest factor in this game, more than the backs being the factor back that we would hear on ESPN back in the day. Look, Tannehill, perfect 6-for-6 on play action. Those six completions, 164 yards. Compare that to week one. He was 3-of-7 on play action for 64 yards. And in Sunday, we watched the offense find the rhythm with Tannehill in his comfort zone. But he jump-started all of that on that fourth possession on that bomb to Treylon Burks, which is a great pass. The three biggest completions accounted for 139 of those yards, and that included that pass to Treylon Burks. We have not seen that level of play action success since Arthur Smith was calling plays here. And granted, it's one game, but so is week one. And when you think about what we saw Sunday, it's unlike anything we saw a season ago. They were down 11 early. They were down 4 in the fourth quarter. They overcame both obstacles, and they scored. And we never saw the offense put a game away or retake a lead last year. There's so many situations where even a field goal would have put a game away, and they either could not get the yards or they didn't trust the kicker. Sunday, they did that. And now it's just about sustaining that solid play and building on it, adding layers to it. The Titans have more yards in their last three quarters on Sunday than they did the first five quarters of the season. So now we find out how Tim Kelly and this group keep that production going against a really good defense in week three in Cleveland.
Yeah, and I think that's the craziest thing to me. I guess a good crazy thing is how the Titans offensively could have done probably everything wrong against the Saints. You know, the offensive line looked rough. You know, Derrick Henry was on the sidelines for a majority of the second half. They couldn't throw the ball downfield, overthrows, underthrows, interceptions. And then they turn around and do pretty much close to everything right against the Chargers.
Well, and they even adjusted well, Caroline. They find out Saturday about Skoronski. Xavier Newman is in. Dylan Raidens hasn't played in 8.5 months. They realize they need to make a switch. They do. That was helpful. Like they adjusted and they did it in game instead of just sticking with whatever plan they had. That also jumped out because I pointed that out after the first game against New Orleans. I really thought that the overall plan worked well together, and I thought we saw Tim Kelly really flourish with his quarterback doing what he does best on play action. And then the third big thing for me is just the defense that just battled throughout. Third down defense is excellent, just like last year. We're used to seeing the defense get off the field, but as great as they were a year ago on third down, Shane Bowen's group didn't produce a game better than what we saw Sunday with 14 third downs faced. They stopped Justin Herbert and the Chargers on 12 of those. And the Chargers were held to just 2 scores in their final 6 possessions. The run defense is unreal. And through 2 weeks, they're allowing 2.7 yards per carry, 65 yards on the ground per game is their average. They now have 7 sacks to begin the year. That's among the best in the NFL. This is where they grind you out and they can win games. But the other factor is the balance on what we saw overall offensively and getting the yards on first down necessary to set them up in second and third and manageable.
So, Hutt, Caroline especially, but D-Mays to a point too, I have thrown this out for the last couple of days.
Okay.
I'm optimistic based on all that has happened. You mentioned Skoronski. That's a tough blow to have late in the week. They don't have the guy, and we're excited that Dylan Raidens came in and did okay. I mean, that was – so my whole point was the offensive line has not gotten them beat 2-for-2 against pretty good fronts.
Right.
Pretty good fronts. So I am glass half full on them. I'm optimistic. I think they've gotten about as much out of them as you could reasonably expect.
Yes.
And Caroline's like, I don't know. Like, I don't think you really have bought in. But how would you assess the offensive line play? More importantly than the first 2 weeks, where it goes from here?
Well, so it is kind of tongue-in-cheek about the Raidens.
It all depends on where, as Caroline said, my bar is on the floor.
Yes.
Like I had low expectations, but they've exceeded the low expectations, I guess.
Well, yeah, I had no idea what to expect because of who they brought in. You know, backups that are now asked to be starters, swing players and guys that can play multiple spots that are now starting at one position. You know, if Sunday you bring up Raidens, like they actually turned to a guy that Vrabel mentioned on Friday that he thought we would see Raidens get some snaps, but I don't think they really wanted to play him 50 snaps given how long he had been out. And also, I mean, they also know how he's played in games before, and they still made that switch and it worked. And it was on that drive, that 3-play drive that was crucial. I mean, the offensive line gave up some sacks early. The first 3 drives ended with a sack. And then the play to Treylon Burks, Willie, and it ties into the offensive line. I think we could look back on that. It's a long season. We could look back on that play that may be forgotten by December as a play of the year candidate for the impact on the game, the moment when it happened.
I don't think that's crazy at all.
Yeah, and what it meant for the Titans in that game and what it now means moving forward with 4 straight AFC games ahead of them. They came up big with the guy that they're relying on in a big-time way. The offensive line off of that break held up for Tannehill, and it was not good to begin the game, but it was in that moment. And then from there on, they kind of found their juice and their flow. And the thing, too, Tannehill deserves – he gained a ton of respect by me last year with how tough he played. He stuck in there. Played through. He was injured, but said he was hurt, not injured. The pain and all that stuff, a ton of respect. He took some hits in this game, too, and stayed in the pocket and delivered the football.
Yeah.
So you know, the steady play is in some part due to the offensive line exceeding my lower expectations. The run game, they actually found some balance there, but also Tannehill staying in there and firing the football. And I don't think the two others behind him in the quarterback room would do that. So that's another factor that kind of gets missed, is the veteran moxie of Ryan and what he's doing there, where he is taking some shots. And I don't think he can continue to do that all year, but the offensive line should improve week to week.
Yeah, that is a concern, because he will hold the ball, right? This is not – I think he generally – that's how he's been effective in the past. He'll hang in there. He'll take the hit, which means he's going to get sacked some. It's going to make it a little tougher for that offensive line. It's not the greatest to start with. So I think that keeping him on the field is going to be a concern week in and week out if he's going to take that kind of beating. All that to say, now you look at the front that they're trying to block on Sunday, Hutt, that looks like a pretty tough assignment right there. That might be where the game is won and lost, is can they contain Myles Garrett in that front with Jim Schwartz at the helm? Looks like he's got some good chemistry with those guys.
Yeah, they show multiple fronts. They'll rotate guys, not Garrett, of course. So they're doing that wide nine. We've always heard about that through Jim Washburn. Schwartz was there during all that, the Vandenbosch era. They're doing that now.
Jim Washburn, same practice attire every day for, I don't know, 15 years or whatever. Same clothes every day. Same hat,
same
shorts.
New Balance shoes.
New Balance shoes.
And, you could hear him from across three different practice fields. Same Jim Washburn. This is a Browns defense that has allowed just 29 points. 397 total yards through 2 weeks. They allowed exactly 130 rushing yards in two games. The Titans have also allowed exactly that. So this is an intriguing matchup defensively, because as bad as things look for Deshaun Watson, and it's bad, he's not playing well at all, and knowing that Nick Chubb's not in the backfield and they're bringing back Kareem Hunt, they have Jerome Ford as their primary back this week, that defense can be a game wrecker. And it's way different than the defense they face with the Chargers, which is a season wrecker for Justin Herbert.
More with Jonathan Hutton coming up next. Caroline, Willie, DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American-made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21+.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.